Ian Trottier you here for Discussions of Truth. We are at We Can Act Conference, Salt Lake City, Utah, and I have with me a freedom fighting warrior that has investigated the voting fraud that is alive and well in the United States of America, folks. Seth Kestrel joins me. Seth, please, for folks that aren't familiar with your work, please make the introduction. Who are you, sir?
Ian, thank you for the invite onto your show. I'm a former Army intelligence officer. I was a captain. I'm a veteran of the war in Afghanistan, and I am skilled at intelligence assessments and analysis from about 30,000 feet, literally aviation support in the Army. But now with elections, I have a background in politics from grassroots conservative causes in Texas. Began to become acclimated to the current environment around 2014 timeframe. And in 2016, I would say I made waves, but I wouldn't call it that because nobody knew who I was then. But I called all 50 states accurately in the 2016 election in the face of all these polls suggesting that Clinton was on her way to a 10-point-plus landslide. So I developed my own methodology for evaluating states and how they are going to break in an upcoming election. And in 2020, I was asked to replicate that. And all of my charts and all of my graphics and all of my methodology was available going into the election. And then, of course, when everything went south after Florida and North Carolina and Georgia were going to Trump, Texas had gone to Trump. And of course, it was very obvious to some people that don't know anything about analytics. It was obvious watching Wisconsin and Michigan fall on election night. But then, of course, you had the other contested states being stolen over several days. But I had the charts and graphics and trends from some of them as far back as 128 years that had been disrupted. And within a couple weeks, I had been in touch with General Flynn and met General Flynn, and I became part of his election fraud challenge team. And then it was off to the races. And then this summer, with the audit movement in full force, President Trump noticed my work, and I've been able to get in front of a lot of legislatures and drive a lot of canvassing operations, of course, with the help of many thousands of amazing patriots out there hitting the streets.
Seth, your background is Army intelligence. You're talking about the 2014 work that you're doing. How far back does this go? Americans sitting back here, likely comfortable, perhaps they're in their houses with heat or with AC going. How far back does this voting fraud go back and date back in the United States?
I kind of had an idea looking at maps that maybe 1988 at the presidential level was the last very clear trending, properly trended election as the left became more and more radical. Then you remember the Democrats were defeated handily in three consecutive elections in the 80s, 40 plus states each time for the Republican Party. Then, of course, you have a natural swing back towards the Democrats. So in 92 with Bill Clinton, that could have been an authentic election. But the Clintons are very well known for machining out cities and urban areas to reflect their agenda. So knocking off sheriffs, knocking off county commissioners, knocking off city councils. So that's why, beginning in the early 90s, these urban areas became completely unwinnable infernos for the Republicans. And I would tend to bet that we have a good, depending on the state, a good three decades worth of compounding fraud, almost like earwax, where you can see it in a place like California or in Washington, where it just metastasizes, and then they put in mail-in voting to enshrine that. And you don't have 30-year stretches where states just don't flip to the other party. That's not how our politics have ever worked.
There's a document that I've come across, Seth, dates to 1978. La Roche publication, Anton Chaikin, who's a researcher, and it directly links the Rockefeller Foundation to owning software, voting software, that have manipulated elections, i.e. Venezuela. Now, I've started my show, I've been doing it now for a few years, out of Miami. The Cubans and the Venezuelans, many of them in South Florida, are irate because they see the same thing happening in the United States happened in, i.e., Venezuela, and certainly with Fidel Castro regime. What is happening right now, Seth, in your country? You know, these people are saying this is communism.
Basically, in a nutshell, the agenda, I would say the Democrat agenda, but it's really a global agenda. You can see that because it's pushed by the RINOs, the Republicans in name only. They just have a different flavor of going about it, and it generally takes longer to get there if Republicans run the states, because you have a mix of legitimate and inauthentic Republicans. But what's going on is the left agenda, or the global agenda, is unpalatable to the electorate. They don't want it. They want industry to work for us. They want immigration to work for us. They want normal social values. So at the polls, beginning around 2010 with the Tea Party, they started to resoundingly reject that global agenda. And then you had the rise of conservative populism, which we call America First. This is the Donald Trump movement. This is not really about Trump. He's just the central figure in the story who carried that message with a very large, brash platform. So what's actually going on is the deliberate engineering of not just American elections, but global elections, European elections, to ensure that the global agenda can still be achieved because it is not wanted or voted for.
What is the global agenda and who's running it? Who's behind this? Is this the deep state?
Well, that's a loose term for it. I mean, I guess you could say you have a global deep state as well. You have a conglomerate of governments that want to hold power everyone. You can see the first fruits of that in Europe with the European Union putting all these nations under one government. Well, what's the issue with that? Well, now you can't control your own immigration. If you have debt problems with one nation, well, all the countries that run a good financial house are now going to have debt problems too. You're going to be drawn into the same wars that the other countries are brought into, and this is what these unions do. Well, our union of the 50 states is protected by the Constitution. Our rights are guaranteed in the Constitution. So if you are a global movement seeking to create a global union of government,
like the United Nations?
Correct, yes. Then you're going to have to whittle down the power of the United States. You're going to have, it's basically a tall, prominent mountain, and you have to grind that down to become more like the rest of the world. So you deprive the individuals of their freedom. And right now we have deprivation of freedom to even assemble thanks to this ridiculous response to this virus. Whittling down your ability to defend yourself. Property rights, that's a big hallmark of socialist, communist, totalitarian governments, is eroding property rights. So you have, that agenda is not popular. You can even look at polls. If you are to believe polls, the ones that are more accurate are about issues. Hey, what do you think about the right to own guns? That's why you see 75% of Americans believe in gun rights. Well, how is it that our elections were 50-50? Well, something's rigged. And I think that you see that a rejection of this global socialist agenda at the polls legitimately, so you have to manipulate the polls to be able to reflect the proper outcomes that the global agenda would need.
Was this COVID-19 pandemic, some refer to it as a plandemic, event 201, the Wuhan War Games, was this coronavirus used as a means to implement this type of invasion that we're seeing in a sense? Now I say invasion because retired Brigadier General Robert Spalding joined my show 2 years ago. He says, Ian, the United States has been invaded by a stealth enemy. What is the stealth enemy? Have they used this COVID hoax as a means to implement their plan? And certainly rigging the election is one of those. Perhaps the question is a little too complex, but I think you understand what I'm getting at.
Yeah, it was, you know, as far as the origins of the virus, it's kind of funny how all the conspiracy theories that they accused us of holding now become true one at a time, and they kind of confirm that they're true very gently. And it does definitely look like it came from a lab, when of course we were told originally it came from a wet market. Now, you know, is the next thing we're going to find out, you know, is it a deliberately researched bioweapon? Who funded that? I think we know some of the answers. But as far as the introduction of that virus into the United States, last, I think, February, we had our first cases. Well, we had our first confirmed cases. There's a lot of people that think that they were having cases in 2019. But the virus itself was 100% used by the deep state. I hate that term, but I just use it for the sake of everyone's understanding.
How about central bankers? Does that fit?
We could, perhaps. But, okay, so the deep state wants to use coronavirus, and they did. And what it did was, so here's this, by all of my numbers, all of my registration numbers, if you ever watched my presentation on Pennsylvania, you'll know how ridiculous it is to even conceive of the fact that that Donald Trump might have lost Pennsylvania. It's not possible. And the pandemic was used as a precedent to overhaul the election procedures, to go around existing integrity laws, especially in regards to mail balloting. We're going to send everyone on the roll mail ballots. And, well, somehow, miraculously, we got them returned. So you have these huge piles of mail ballots you've never seen before, even in states that have already voted by mail for a long time. Wisconsin's a really good example where they have a category of voter called indefinitely confined voters. So that's somebody that's just too sick, too infirm to get to a poll. And they had four times as many indefinitely confined voters on the registration rolls in 2020 as they did in the previous election. And of course, you know the results in Wisconsin. They pulled the state away at about 3:42 in the morning on election night. And that's just one little microcosm, 10 electoral votes out of the many that were stolen.
Seth, it seems like you've done a lot of work in revealing the fraud in Arizona. Perhaps you've been working with Randy Rogers. update listeners here. What's going on in Arizona, and how is it that these results continue to be squashed? It seems that way from my perspective, Seth. Correct me if I'm wrong.
So the first attitude check on Arizona for people that are kind of underwhelmed by the Senate-sanctioned audit report, you shouldn't be, because there were 5 months that passed between the end of the election and the beginning of the audit for them to manipulate ballots. So for all the, and we have our own misinformation. You know, we do not have, we had articles coming out said there were 200,000 ballots missing. Well, first off, do you really think 5 months would go by between the election and the beginning of the audit where they wouldn't make sure that the ballot count matched up and that the Biden tally matched up and the Trump tally matched up and all the other races? Of course they're going to have that right. But even with 5 months to manipulate the physical ballots and to manipulate the cyber portion, the audit report still revealed that both had indeed been manipulated and still showed 70-plus thousand votes between Doug Logan and Dr. Shiva's information that should not have been cast, that are illegally cast, signatures that just aren't there, that don't match up, that are duplicated, 250,000-plus mismatch between voting records, and then hundreds of thousands of deleted ballot images, which is a violation of federal election law. So it's very simple. This is not a, hey, which votes do we count? What do we count? What's the score for Biden and Trump? The call is to decertify the election. It's like the election to be struck from the records because it's an invalid election. It was no more of an election than, I mean, it's not an election.
Yeah, it sounds completely stolen. What is the resolution here? How do we move forward, Seth? We've got a country in turmoil. There's simply no doubt about that. Divided politically, we've got an election that was rigged. How do we let's tackle the election integrity here. How do we move forward? How do we clean this system out? What do you think, Seth?
It's a two-front war, and a lot of people, there are a lot of people that are extremely impatient and probably for good cause. You know, so much so that they'll go after frontline people fighting the election fight and call them grifters when the results don't go like they wish. It is not a surprise to me that rhinos in charge of the Arizona legislature would scoff at this, that Ken Bennett would act the way he's acting. It doesn't surprise me that the media comes out and says there's no evidence. Like, Joe Biden could come out today and admit that the election was stolen and 30% of the country would never believe him because they're so bought into this agenda. But we have to look backward at 2020. There is no moving on, and I will say that tonight in my presentation. There's no moving on from 2020. But we also do have to prepare for 2022, and to me that's a so what of what do we need to put in place. If you read the end of the Arizona Independent Canvas findings that Liz Harris put out, there are several very good recommendations. Number one is an absolute end to mail ballots. There could be no more mail balloting. I don't care how good a state thinks they have it. Like, Florida has it. You know, it's not all mail balloting, but they have a lot of it. That needs to go away. Early voting needs to go away. So yes, if we need more precincts and more operations, even if it's funded by government, like, that needs to go away. We need to make voting election day a national holiday. Look, after all, why is election day called election day? It's more like election month these days. You have states that start voting in September, for goodness sakes, for president. So we have to absolutely clean this stuff up for the future. But as far as the past, you know, if there was any justice in the world, the proper administration would be seated no matter what the time is, no matter how unprecedented that is. But it's just a reality pill. Look, if you expect corrupt courts of man to do the right thing, they've already shown you they're not planning to do the right thing. They threw out, during the interlude between the election and the Biden takeover, they threw out Texas versus Pennsylvania, which was a completely valid case. I've met with Ken Paxton, the Attorney General of Texas, and his team, and they had all their ducks in a row, and they threw it out on procedural grounds. You look at the case in Georgia, the 147,000 ballots in Fulton County that they wanted to inspect, the absentee ballots. Well, that judge sat on the case for many months, only to throw it out on procedural grounds because they're trying to run out the clock. And I can almost guarantee you in Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, they've probably already dotted I's and crossed T's and rigged all the ballot materials that they would need anyway. In Arizona, we need all guns on deck towards, and I mean that metaphorically, by the way, for anybody listening, we need all assets on deck for Pima County. So if we can't scatter all of our seed throughout the 6 or 8 contested states. Like, if we have Maricopa already reeling, then send Pima County reeling as well. So Sonny Borelli here, senator from Arizona, state senator from Arizona, he thinks that Brnovich may act at a more opportune time as far as his Senate campaign is concerned, towards acting on prosecutions towards the election. Of course, we lived through the James Comey, Hillary Clinton, you know, episode, so I'm not going to put all my hope in that. But we will 100% fail if we stop pursuing the truth of the election. Now, for those of us that hold the faith you know, I believe that we, working in faith, will be rewarded with a country that does go through hard times. I mean, history shows you the countries that rise and they fall. But we cannot neglect to expose the truth, even if the results don't go the way we want.
I want to get your comments here on this as we wind down. And I appreciate your time, Seth. Ladies and gentlemen, Seth Keschel, discuss the truth here. The United States federal government, where we live in a republic with democratic values, that's undisputable. The United States federal government is in a $30 trillion, I mean, it's roughly $30 trillion, I don't know the exact number is, but let's say it's a $30 trillion debt. If there are financial strings, so let's just paint this picture, Seth. You've got deep state and you follow the money, and if there are financial strings that are manipulating the United States government, and let's just say these are behind what is the Federal Reserve Central Banking Act established by Congress, signed off by Roosevelt in 1913. Is it possible that there are these international interests that you allude to through the League of Nations, through the United Nations, that have their best interests and are using and manipulating America at their expense? Whereas, is it possible that these strings, these European banking strings, I'm just going to lay it out there and get your idea. Is it possible that they are deliberately tearing down the United States of America as we know it? Is it possible that we're seeing this come to fruition as we speak?
Absolutely. Those global unions that I referred to earlier, they are only successful if they can bring down the top performer. It's just like any business. You know, if you're a sales organization, the best thing you can do is to take out your competition, you know, to either outsell them, or if you had the way, I mean, imagine you had the means to wipe out your competition. If there was another internet warehouse out there that had the ability to make Amazon self-sabotage itself, look at what China does. China owns so much influence in states like Georgia and Texas, where they're having these politicians that are either compromised or bribed to where they're willing to act against the interests of their own citizens and states by importing various things and by being on the hook for certain issues, that the United States at the state level, 50 for 50, is beginning to compromise itself. And you can see it in trade deals like NAFTA, where other nations benefit from our stupid deals. So you have Mexico taking all these jobs over just because, and it wasn't just Bill Clinton, it was George Bush too. Okay, so right. Bush created that, Clinton signed it into law, so it was a two-party operation. Donald Trump ran against it. He reaped the rewards of that entire region that was afflicted turning towards him. So you can see that other nations, through pacts and trade deals and treaties and stuff, you know, you can see in the future they're going to try to make stuff about the environment, climate change. And this is like the Paris Accords, you know, that Trump left. Here's something that we can use to have the United States, with its massive energy industry, self-sabotage itself to become reliant on energy from other nations. It's the oldest trick in the book. 100%, you're right on target. There's other nations getting us to self-sabotage.
Seth, incredibly well said, and glad to hear it from you. Let's take a moment here for some closing comments for listeners, places they can follow you on social media, whatever it may be. But some closing comments, what do you want listeners to walk away with from you?
I want everybody to walk away with a mission. So at events like this, people can do one of two things. They can look at all the speakers who are constantly on a speaking circuit, and they can be cynical, and they can say that people are grifters, or they can recognize that the people here are fighting the fight, and they're subject matter experts in a field, so minus elections. And I know about other things. I know about foreign policy. I served a year in Afghanistan. But there's people here that are pro-life leaders. There's people here that are medical freedom leaders. There's people here that are into survivability. There's people here that are into fitness. There's people here into everything. So you need to find your call. There is no more time to be sitting around doing nothing. It doesn't have to be at a high profile. You don't have to have 150,000 followers on social media. You don't have to have famous friends. Every single person. So as much influence as I've been given right now with elections, I would be zero without all the people that I meet state to state, county to county, that are doing the canvassing, that know the legislators, that have the meetings at the town halls that I can't go to. So do not neglect your role, even if you consider it minor or meaningless, because we need every single patriot in this country engaged, or we will lose.
Ladies and gentlemen, Seth Keschel. Seth, thanks for taking the time.
Ian, pleasure to be on your show. Thanks for having me.